Okay, we're going to end with a fun story today. The audio quality is a little shaky, but it's a really great story that Tony wanted you to have. Enjoy.
About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I got a phone call from President George Bush. And he called me up and he invited me to come to a meeting with himself, Mr. Mitterrand, right before he died, President Mitterrand, and Mrs. Thatcher, and also Mr. Gorbachev. And the week before, I'd had the privilege of speaking at a thing that was on CNN called The State of the World, and I was one of the speakers along with all these people. So I got a chance to meet some of them, and I'd met Mr. Gorbachev briefly many years ago. But he said, this is a private meeting, 100 of us, to talk about where the world is going, and I want to invite you. I'm like, wow, what an amazing honor, right? And he said, we're going to all sit down and say, what do we do now after the Cold War? How do we shape the values of the world? What things do we put in place? I thought, man, my life's changed a little bit. You know, this is pretty neat. And then he says to me, he said, where are you going to be coming from? I said, I'll be coming from New York to go to the event. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, Mr. Gorbachev's in New York. Do you think you can maybe pick him up in your plane and give him a ride so he, you know, can go on a private jet as opposed to public? And I said, well, I could probably suffer through that. And I got so excited. And I thought, man, what an amazing thing to now have the president, past president of the Soviet Union, the man who probably made the most significant change in our lifetimes, the ending of the Cold War. I mean, think of it. 70,000 thermonuclear weapons pointed at each other. Where all someone had to do is push a button and we could destroy the world. Right? There's only 12,000 cities in the world. We had 70,000 thermonuclear weapons. And no matter what we did between at least the U.S. and Russia, or Soviet Union at the time, it seemed to get worse. We could allay our fears, but the bombs didn't go away. Didn't matter who took over. And then all of a sudden, overnight, the world as we know it changed. And lots of factors played a role there, but one guy gave people the most important resource to change it all. Called what? Freedom. So I'm excited to go meet him, right? And I look at this and I say, this is going to be amazing. And I make these arrangements and say, yes, I'll be happy to do it. Then I call up and I find out that the size of President Gorbachev's group is larger than my little Learjet can carry. But I promised that I would deliver him by private jet. So now I got to rent a Gulfstream. Suddenly I'm associating pain to this trip. This $30,000 to rent an airplane for a little trip? It's like, oh, my God, you know? But I gave my word, so I committed, right? And I thought, what if I do this? And to do this, I had to cancel critical things I was working on. I had to leave a bunch of things that weren't working out. What if I do this? And he goes, thanks for the ride. And he goes and sits in the back seat. $30,000, the day of my life, you know? What if this happens? All of a sudden, I get this little story going on my head, and I can just see him going, yet, and sitting in the back, right? So I said, okay, I got to make this so I can absolutely win this game no matter what. So when I sat down, I went to go meet Mr. Gorbachev, and everything was arranged. And I also made arrangements so I could videotape my interview with him. I could do a brief, like, five-minute interview with him for the kids that I sponsor across the country. And I wanted him to say a few words to them and really inspire them. I thought, you know, having a past president of the Soviet Union address them. So we got there early. I flew in, right? We got the camera crew there. Everything is organized. We got it all set up. Guys have been there for an hour to get the perfect shot, perfect lighting, jet in the background, the whole thing. The limousine pulls up, right? Mr. Gorbachev gets out with his entourage. I go up, introduce myself to him. He remembers me. I shake his hand. He's very nice and polite. So I turn to his assistant. I said, would he like to maybe use the facilities before we get on the plane? And he goes, yet. I mean, it's like the picture I had. And he got this really ugly look on his face. He says, he wants to get on the plane right now. I said, well, we have this interview set up. He says, yet, no interview, yet. And I said, well, we made these arrangements in advance. Camera crew's here just for a few minutes with the kids. He goes, yet. Right? And I said, no. So I decided I'm going to get my outcome right. So I start working this guy. So just take a couple minutes of funny. He says, okay. And he gets Gorbachev up, and Gorbachev is irritated. Right? So he walks over here, and he was nice and shook my hand, and he's like converted that fast to a total mean guy, right? So he comes over there, and all of a sudden, he doesn't like the suns in his eyes, so he goes, yeah, he won't sit on the spot. They worked on 30 minutes, right? Now he wants to get out of the sun, so he's waving his hand to stand underneath the wing of the airplane. I can't fit underneath the wing of the airplane, right? Right? He's down here. I'm out here going, in the Gorby, you know, all I can see is this big spot hanging out there, you know? Right? So I talk to the guy, pull him out here, get him the shade. The guys are scrambling all over the place with the camera, trying to get him in the camera, right? Finally, we start trying to put the microphone on him. He just grabs the other hand, rips it out of his hand, just holds it to his mouth. So finally, I go to do the kids' question, and he goes, yeah, I'm done. He slams the microphone down and jumps on the plane. I run up on the plane to catch up. So I started getting on the plane. I thought, remember your rule. Your rule's real simple. You've already won. You're here on a Gulfstream jet you rented, during the past, present Soviet Union to a meeting. They're going to meet with Bush, Maggie Thatcher, right, and Mitterrand. It's cool. Enjoy it. If he doesn't talk, great. Don't worry about it. So I sit down, and his assistant sits next to me, his interpreter, and he says, listen, he said, I really apologize for his behavior. He says he has a massive headache. I said, oh, okay, I understand. I said, well, I said, I want to talk to him about a few things, but I'm respectful of that. People always want to get something out of people in his position. I said, I experience that sometimes, so I said, I'll leave him alone. He said, no, I'm sure he'll talk to you. Why don't you just let him rest for a little bit? I said, great. So I start talking to his wife, who's the real power. She really is. She is an amazing woman. Amazing woman. She has shaped a lot of who he is. It's very obvious. And he admits it in the conversations we had. We have 4 hours privately just with us together. Nobody interrupts. And so I start talking to her about a whole series of things. And out of it, what happens, he keeps opening his eyes because he has to give the answer. So I now discover his pattern. And I ask her things I want him to answer. And sure enough, he opens his eyes and tells me, right? So finally, I get to ask him the question I've been wanting to ask. And I asked on tape, but he gave me a lousy answer. And I said, Mr. Gorbachev, I said, I appreciate the answer you gave me about what changed the world. I said, but I want to know the truth. And he looked at me. And I smiled. I said, I want to know what really changed the world. Because I said, I have this belief that what everybody looks for is the big thing that changes all. But what changes everything in life is little tiny things. Little things make the big things possible. So I said, no, the big thing is obvious. The world has changed. The fall of communism, the changes that are happening in our cultures around the world. I said, but I want to know what really made that possible. And I said, I got you for 4 hours. I said, I'm going to get the answer. And I finally got him laughing. Changed his what? State, interrupted his what? And when that happened, I got this golden nugget from him. He finally, I kept saying, tell me, gave me this generalization, tell me. Finally, he said, okay, I'll tell you what ended the Cold War. The end of demonization. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, we knew that you Americans had to be kept in check or you would destroy the world. I said, really? And he said, and we know what you thought about us, the evil empire. He said, but the bottom line is we knew you were the enemy. We knew you were evil. We knew what you were pushing out, how it was hurting people, how destructive you were as a force. He said, what changed the world is when we stopped seeing you that way, when I stopped seeing you that way, when I got my associates stopped seeing you that way, and vice versa. And so the next restriction was, okay. I said, what made that possible? I said, how did you go from hating each other to being in a position where you really could have a shift in identity? He said, I don't know. You know, it happened through time. I said, when was the moment? I just totally got him, teased him, pushed him. And finally, this light went on. You can see when somebody all of a sudden, they get it, right? And he said, he started to smile. He said, I can tell you the moment. He said, I didn't know until this moment. He said, you have a good question technique, he said. I said, actually, I have something like that that I teach. But I said, so what was it? And he put this huge grin on his face, his whole face, and he went being from this kind of mean, kind of tough, to just like this little boy. And he said, the world changed the first time I had my first meeting with Ronald Reagan in Geneva. I said, when? He said, I will tell you the moment. He said, we've been sitting for 4 hours arguing back and forth. And his wife jumped in and she was saying, and they were all questioning my clothing. I said, what? She goes, they were. The Americans kept saying, where did you get those clothes? And I said, in Moscow. And they said, no, you didn't. Because they didn't believe we had anything. That's how uppity those Americans were. She was like back in state about it. Clothing. Everybody has their rules, right? Now, some people have a threshold. The clothing was her threshold. So he said, oh, yeah, and he's like trying to stop her. He said, now. He said, what happened is we're in this mad argument. He said, it was getting worse and worse, going nowhere. And he said, all of a sudden, this President Reagan, he stands up and he says, this is not working, with this weird look on his face. And he looks at me and he says, how about we start fresh? My name is Ron. May I call you Mikhail? And I got chills. And he had started laughing. He said, at that moment, he said, the world changed. He was no evil. He was no horrible. He was such a nice man. He said, I could do business with him. The world as you know it has changed. Because one man could stand up and break a pattern and start fresh in the moment, in spite of 50 years of history.
Hi, this is Andy again. Before we begin the exercise, I want to go over what we learned today. You've seen that there are many ways to interrupt a pattern. from something as outrageous as planning the crucifixion of a man, or as elegant as taking someone on a walk. The most important thing to remember when you do a pattern interrupt is that you've got to be in rapport with the person. And if you lose rapport doing a pattern interrupt, you need to get it back immediately. There is a delicate balance between breaking someone's pattern while still maintaining rapport. Here are some of the most common mistakes people make when doing pattern interrupts. The first one, people assume rapport and do something too offensive. For example, they may say something insulting or touch inappropriately. The phrase I normally use is, the right conversation or the right challenge in the wrong context is the wrong challenge. If for some reason you do break rapport doing a pattern interrupt, you need to get it back immediately before you move on. Number two, people are not flexible enough in their approach or may only use a few types of pattern interrupts all the time. You need to be willing to do unexpected things to break the pattern and have a wide variety of types and styles of pattern interrupts. And that's easier than you might think. Haven't you ever experienced that, you know, we're trying to support someone that you really love and in the spur of the moment you just said something that sounded just right? And when you look back, you say, oh my God, what a great impact this brought to the person I love, where I just said something and the energy completely shifted and that led to a very beautiful pattern interrupt. Well, that's what you can experience if you trust yourself a little more. Number three, people do not scramble the pattern enough. They may interrupt the person, but not the pattern. Your goal is to interrupt the pattern so much that someone totally forgets what they're talking about, or even what they're upset about. While you want to remain in rapport, you also don't want to do something too subtle or expected. Let me share a couple of personal stories. We were in this beautiful building in the penthouse of this tower with the executive vice president of a division and his direct reports. And we were presenting basically the findings of a set of interviews that we had conducted with the top leadership team. One of the key findings was that this executive vice president tended to manage by fear. He tended to be very aggressive, especially when he felt challenged or when he felt that someone was disagreeing with his point of view. So the findings said basically that a lot of people found him to be very defensive and very aggressive when he was getting defensive. So we basically were there in the meeting room and we said, well, one of the findings is that people tend to find you very aggressive, especially when people disagree with you, and you tend to become defensive and then aggressive, and then people start feeling afraid of you. His response, guess what? He said, this is crap. This doesn't make any sense. I've wasted money in hiring you guys to come tell me this. This is completely untrue. Where did you get this from? And our response was, you know what? What you just did is a perfect illustration of what we're talking about. And he looked at us and said, you know what? That's a great point. I never thought of it that way. So that was a good example of a pattern interrupt using language. Now, you don't need to use language. You know, as Tony was saying, you can just do very simple things. You don't need to come up with this very fantastic creative move that will make a difference. You can just go to a friend that you feel that is feeling down and just tell him, you know, I need some help. Would you mind coming with me to go and look for a book? I really don't know which book to pick. That can make the whole difference. Let me give you another personal example. A close friend of mine's dad died. As time went on, he continued to be very sad. And every time we were reaching out to him, inviting him to go out for dinner or practice sports, he kept on saying that he wasn't feeling in the mood to do anything. And I just remember this beautiful poem that is over 2,000 years old. So I told him, you know what? Let me share a poem with you. Grandpa dies, daddy dies, son dies. Would you like it to be in any different order? I just realized maybe it's part of nature. And I remember he looked at me and started smiling in such a beautiful way. And he just said, you know what? Maybe this is just nature, and this is the way it needs to turn out. So again, simple things make a huge difference. Maybe it's asking a bizarre question to change their focus. Maybe you tell them a joke, Maybe it's getting a person to breathe deep and take a walk, or doing something completely unexpected, like jumping up and down in the middle of a conversation. It's not so much about the type of pattern interrupt as it's about actually breaking someone's pattern. You may even have to do it a few more times before it really happens. So before we finish this session, let's go to the assignment. This is a very simple one and very powerful one. Think of an emotional state you go into when you're upset. Try to really connect with that real sense of anger or negative emotion. Imagine going into that state and then think of a way to interrupt your pattern. Now get into that state and consciously break your own pattern. Have fun and play around with ways you can interrupt your own negative emotions. And you'll enjoy it. And then after you do it, you realize that you can do this with anyone else. Once you can do it with yourself, you will be very skillful doing it with other people too. So explore different types of pattern interrupts and practice them. See you tomorrow with session 6.